podcast is sponsored by Audible. Audible, stay connected, informed, and inspired. Try Audible Premium Plus for 30 days free. Your 30-day trial comes with 1 credit, 2 credits for Prime members, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. With the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals, you can listen all you want. No credits needed. Go to www.audibletrial.com/entertainmentrants to start your Audible Premium Plus 30-day trial today. $14.95 a month after 30 days. Cancel anytime. Audible, it's time to start listening.
Welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast, your number one source for all things entertainment. Join host Marco Mazzola and his fellow ranters as they sound off on the latest movies, TV, and the world of entertainment. Now, here are your ranters for the hour, Marco, Mila, Larry, and Bruno.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Marco Mazzola, and tonight we are doing a special bonus episode with myself and Larry. Hello, Larry.
Hey, hey.
So we are, this is really just Larry's podcast tonight. I'm just kind of hosting, going to be asking a bunch of questions. Larry went to go see, well, what did you go see, Larry?
All right, so
tell the people.
This past weekend, I went to go and see a lot of smart sets, Jagged Little Pill, the musical. It was at the Citizen Bank Opera House there in Boston.
Gotcha.
My wife got tickets a while ago from a friend of hers. It was like right pre-pandemic. She got tickets. Pandemic happened.
Yeah.
Obviously everything shut down.
Right.
They kind of sort of gave her credit, and then they did it like almost like a Zoom, like they did one on TV, and you got a QR code, and you went online, and you could actually watch it, like, on TV. They did a live thing, you know, but it was, again, it was very restricted, because there was only a couple players, because it was still in the middle of the pandemic.
Gotcha.
So everything opened up, obviously, and we are where we are today, and, you know, the wife wanted to still do it, and she says, you know, do you want to go see it? I went, absolutely. First of all, it's this really hits for the people that are in, if you're in like your mid-40s, maybe as early as...
Getting weird feedback from you. Is there a weird feedback every time you talk?
No, I'm not getting any.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
Continue.
If you're like 43 years old to like maybe 51, 52, you remember Alanis Morissette. You know, right. So like when she told me about it, and my wife loved this album, Jagged Little Pill. It came out in like 95, 96, 97,
yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's right in the wheelhouse. It's right in the middle of, the alternative movement was happening. You had people like the Cranberries and things like that.
I mean,
let's
face it, like Jagged Little Pill was kind of like the song.
That was a great album. So like, you know, like I like to say, like the tagline for this was, you know, you come for the music, stay for the story, leave with a message. Mm-hmm. Because, again, this album, when you listen to it, when it first came out, I was like, oh, this song's awesome. You know, the first song that came off this album, I believe, was You Ought to Know. And it was, you know, about a woman who had been scorned. It was, you know, Hell Hath No Fury, like a woman scorned, right?
Right.
And this song was about her just, you know, getting back at the guy that had, you know, he left her for another woman. And, it was full of rage, and it was such a great song. And other songs on that album were really good. Nothing's like watching that album, literally the songs come to life, and that's what this whole play was about. So that's kind of in a nutshell. So if you're familiar with the album itself, it's that literally coming to life. So it's like they did songs like, Right Through You, which is a song that it's supposed to emphasize like the perfect little world, whatever, but there's things behind it, mm-hmm. You know? You ought to know, again, that was on there, Hand in My Pocket. So it was a conglomeration of songs from that album and then other songs that were written specifically for this play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just to start off, and that's why we went to go and watch it. And yeah, so it was super, super powerful, you know, in a nutshell.
So you were talking with me the last couple of days. Actually, you've been really incessantly talking about this show. I feel like I've already seen it, which is actually really good. I mean, the way you describe it, talk to me about the feelings that it really brought out, because it was deep. I mean, it was
super, super deep. So you know, at the beginning of the at the beginning of the show, it starts off with a mother.
I mean, spoiler alert.
Yeah,
it's, we're gonna go through the show. When is it up?
Unfortunately, it's only here in Boston until June 25th.
Okay.
The 20th, literally. The 20th. So by the time you drop this, it's the 21st.
I'm gonna try posting this by tomorrow morning, the latest.
Yeah. So you got a couple days. But if not, like, go online, see if you could find it.
Yeah.
Just look it up. Just to see where you can see it.
Yeah.
If it's somewhere near here or future dates. Again, it's such a good show. So it starts off with the picturesque family, right? It's the mother, and she's basically, it's the narration through the mother of the story, right? And it's, okay, you know, here we are, the Healy's, that's the family name, with our Christmas picture, you know, and it's the perfect mom and the perfect dad and the perfect son, and they adopted a daughter, and, you know, and it's the perfect little family, and that's the image that they want. But in reality, it's the mother turns out to be she has a substance abuse problem with pills. The father is overworked, so he's working, you know, 70, 80 hours at work to try to make the perfect house, so he's never home. Mm-hmm. So the relationship between mom and dad are basically shite. The son gets accepted to Harvard. So now it's like all this pressure on him to do right. And he's trying to, like, keep up with that look and that pressure from the parents to always be the perfect little son.
Right.
The daughter is an adopted African-American child. And it's like now she's a teenager. And now she's getting the, oh, you know, your family, they just adopted you because you're an African-American. So it's like, you know, that plays in. So the whole racial thing plays into it. Also, she's gay, so she has a girlfriend that the parents think that they're just really good friends, when in reality, they're girlfriend. And then she ends up meeting this boy at school and ends up being with him. So she kind of goes back and forth. So she's going through her thing. She runs away from home and comes back. So it's like all these things are just literally coming at you and coming through the music. It's, you see the music a little bit differently now. Okay. Again, when I first heard this album, I had this album when it first came out. And again, I played the shit out of the CD. Did I have it? Yeah, I had it on CD. I didn't have it on tape. I had it on CD. And I played the shit out of it. And again, it was a great album.
Yeah.
I saw this play. I went back to listen to that album, and it completely changed how I looked at every song that Alanis Morissette did. Like, it was completely insane. Again, you know, listening to the music and watching her music come to life, and now you're seeing it through these eyes. It was wild. It was wild. Oh, and, you know, and again, another part of it was the son was at a high school party, and one of the girls got really drunk. Social media. So this is another thing too. So they change with the time, so like now there's a lot, everything's on social media. Mm-hmm. Everything, and everybody passes judgment on you just by a picture. You know, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Right. Regardless of what it actually is that you're doing, somebody takes a picture, puts a little hashtag underneath it, and that's literally what everybody thinks. Regardless of what's actually happened, everything's taken out of context, right? So during this party, one of the girls, she's getting, you know, they're all drinking, but now there's pictures of her being spread out around the school the next day. Like, oh, look at her. She's all drunk. She's getting, you know, showing off her tits, da, da, da. You know, look at her getting trashed. Comes to find out she was actually raped at the party. But nobody's going to believe her story because she was the drunk girl that was showing off her tits and blah, blah, blah. And the kid that raped her he comes from a very well-to-do family. He's like, you know, his family was generations in that town.
Right.
So nobody's gonna believe that. You know, when it comes to find out that the son saw it happen, he never said anything about it because it was his friend that did it.
Right.
Come to find out, you know, the mother, comes out that the mother was raped when she was in college and she never said anything. So there's a lot of like really, really deep, deep rooted things in this play, this show. And it really just opens up your eyes to everything that's going on. Like, you can't live in the small little bubble that you pretend to be in, because there's so many things going on. And so, watching this throughout, it was an unbelievable, unbelievable show. And I would watch it 1,000 times over,
yeah.
You know? And again, I think that especially living in the society that we live in, and you know, we've come through a lot just in the last, you know, 25 years or whatever. It all these things are still in the forefront of everybody's mind, but yet there are a lot of things that we still don't talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, and this show really opens your eyes to that. It's like, hey, you know, not everything is fucking perfect. And let me tell you something: if you think if this family's out there, you know, and you know, we'll even take it to a simpler terms, like with social media being the way it is, but you know, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, yep, whatever the fuck,
the cesspool that it is.
Yeah. People only put out there what they want you to see.
Yeah, it's all fake.
Right? So if you look at somebody, it's like, oh my God, look at that person. They have all this money, or they have this cars, or they're doing so perfect. Look at all these you really don't know what the hell's going on.
No, that's, you know, that's what they want you to see. Yeah,
it's, yeah. They're only showing you what they want you to see. So you think they're this perfect little family or this perfect little couple or whatever. So this plays into that as well.
I mean, the influencers themselves are all just like paid essentially to stand next to the cool cars or eat at the cool restaurants or stay at the awesome hotels. They don't own any of this. Like, all right, now bugger off because you don't own any of this stuff. You're not actually staying there. They just paid to take a good picture there and then go back to their shitty places so they'll you know, looks like they own that or are staying there or eating there. And then
they're getting paid.
And then that's it. And then it goes. Then people think
what a fucking doing job that is. Honestly, to be an influencer, like what? Before that used to be called peer pressure.
Yeah.
Now it's called being an influencer.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. It's like peer pressure. Yeah.
That's what social media is now. It's like it's so wild because it can be used. I mean, we all use it. Yeah. You know, and everybody uses it in so many different ways that, you know, social media just gets abused so much. And then people like really buy into the shit that they see. And it's, oh my God, did you see what happened? Or no, I don't believe it because I didn't see it. It wasn't on Facebook. You know, we always say that, you know, it's not real unless it's Facebook official.
Right.
You know, but again, that's where we are with the world of social media. And it's a double-edged sword. It really is.
Yeah, you know, the person saying it didn't have the right color tie on, or it just, you know what I mean? It just goes on and on.
Right. Now it's, you know, things get taken out of context.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows how many times I've said things and, you know, it gets taken out of context. But, the show, again, you know, it covers a lot of those subjects and a lot of those issues that, you know, we still deal with. And in 2023, again, this album came out in 95. I didn't look it up. It came out like 95, 96, something right around there.
Yeah.
And everything
we had the internet.
Yeah, I know, right? And everything she sang about, though, during those times, I mean, that's from her own. You know, she just didn't pluck these lyrics she wrote all of her own music, so it's not like she plucked these words out of the fucking thin air or had somebody else, you know, paid for these lyrics from somebody else.
Right.
She wrote all these. All those things that we heard in 96 are still fucking relevant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all those issues. Still in 2023. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, we haven't come that far.
Yeah, shit, man.
We have not.
So
let's give a little rundown. We do theater stuff all the time. Usually it's myself and Amy. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of the North Shore Music Theater stuff, and we love them. But let's give a little plug here for where you went and the cast and the directors and everything like that.
Yeah, so, again, it was... Citizen Bank Opera House, beautiful place, by the way.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
This is the first time I've ever been there. I've been to a couple of other theaters in town. Yeah,
I've been to the Wilbur, I've been to the Citizen Bank, I've been to
this one. Yeah. Holy shit! Yeah, First and foremost, shout out to the Citizen Bank Opera House.
That place, gorgeous,
beautiful, gorgeous, beautiful, place, beautiful, yeah, beautiful. I mean, everything from all the angels and all the decor inside.
Oh yeah.
No, the seats are a little bit of an angle. Mm-hmm. But you see everything though. It was good, really, like, really cool.
Stadium, like steep.
Yeah.
Steep, so you get a good angle. You're not blocked by some knucklehead's, you know, head or something like that. Yeah.
But again, I mean, the place was just unbelievably beautiful. The
ticket price is pretty decent.
I honestly don't know.
No.
I didn't. I don't know.
No.
I didn't.
You didn't have to.
I didn't do
take
that.
Take care
part
for you, was it?
Yeah, that was the wife.
Ah, yes.
I'm not gonna lie. It was the wife.
That's right.
Thank you, Karen.
Shout out to Karen. We miss you. I was hoping to get Karen on the podcast.
She's teaching tonight over at the Lifetime in Burlington doing her Zumba and
doing her Zumba. So
Zumba,
too bad,
class. So
maybe next time you guys go, we'll get you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Right. So let's talk the cast.
Yes.
So I just want to highlight, like, every cast member was amazing.
Okay.
Okay. Their parts that they were supposed to be highlighted, they fucking crushed it.
Yeah.
Right? There wasn't like when the mother comes out, so the mother's name is, her character's name is Mary Jane Haley. The actress's name is Heidi Blickenstaff. She has done a bunch of stuff. She's been on Broadway, Something Rotten, Little Mermaid. She played Ursula. She was in The Full Monty. She's done a bunch of stuff. She was unbelievably great. Like, she owned the stage when she was on it.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the girl that played the daughter, the character's name is Frankie Haley, played by Lauren Chanel. 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 Mm-hmm. This is her debut, national tour debut. Another one. Once she played Little Inez in Hairspray, she's got a couple things to her credit. Unbelievable as the part of Frankie as the daughter. Again, every part that she did, she owned. You know, the father, Chris Hoch, Hoch, he was really good. Dylan Klina, he played Nick Haley. The people that played the family,
mm-hmm.
every time, they were great. But I gotta give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Jade McLeod. Jade crushed it. Jade played the character of Frankie's girlfriend, and they sang You Ought to Know when they found out that the character found out that the other character was sleeping mm-hmm. with a boy, and fucking blew their mind, right? Absolutely fucking crushed that song to the point that, like, I literally had, like, goosebumps when they sang it. It was such a good song. But that's pretty much, that's the cast right there.
Yeah.
And then the ensemble was unfucking real. There was no downtime. Like, this thing hit from the beginning.
Pacing was pretty good.
The pacing was great.
Yeah.
There was no downtime except for intermission.
Right.
Like, that was the downtime. That was and that worked because it came at a point that I was like,
you need to take a breath.
Wow, I need to breathe. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I need to step back. And
it sounds like a very emotional, obviously. It's a very emotional play.
Very, very emotional. Yeah. I mean, look, if you can't identify, and this is a big part, if you can't identify with a little part, it doesn't have to be like a major part. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, you come from the same exact cloth, but there is definitely something within this that everybody identifies with,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it be your own sexuality or your own image or, you know, your own demons that you have to face, you know, whether it be alcohol or drugs, like there's something.
Self-worth,
right? Like, there is something here that everybody can identify with.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the big wow factor to this show. And again, this is something that I would watch, like, over and over again, like, yeah. without a doubt. This is probably one of my favorite shows I've ever watched.
The music's obviously off the chart. It's a hit. It was a hit album anyway.
Right, yeah, you're definitely singing to yourself. From that anyway, absolutely.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The costumes, what was the costuming like?
I mean, the costume was just regular clothes. Like,
it was set, like, more today. It was contemporary.
Yeah. It wasn't like, you know.
Not a period piece, obviously.
Not a period piece. So you weren't looking for frocks or anything like that.
Right, it's set today.
It's set today, so, but again, it's nothing seemed out of place.
Yeah.
It was a constant. So the scenery, this is really cool.
Yeah, set,
the set changing.
What was it like? Is it
multiple was very
places,
smooth.
Or?
It was basically a moving, the stage didn't move, but the set moved around.
Yeah.
So, like, there was, like, one part that they were sitting on swings. Okay, double swings with the, you know, like what you see in the playground.
Yeah.
And then, like, they were singing Frankie and the boy, the new boyfriend there, Phoenix, which was played by Rishi Gulani. They were sitting on the swings, and they were singing to each other and talking, and then, like, you know, the ensemble would come around, they would spin it around, and they would move around it, like almost like it was a jungle gym of sorts. So that was what the set was. Like, there was no like big piece. It was like one or two pieces that would just kind of move around with the movement of the dancers and the pieces.
Kind of a minimal set.
Yeah. But again, it was done deliberately like that.
Sure.
And it just, everything worked so well. The lighting was really good. Cool thing about the band was above them. So you can see it, like, where the stage is, then you have the cast, and then right above them is where the band sits, and that's where they were playing it. And so you could see the band.
So they're not, like, down in an orchestra.
They're not down in the pit. They're up above them, so you could really see the people playing. And it's all, you know, it's guitar, drums, you know, because it's a rock show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool. And again, like you said, it's the music that you know.
Yeah.
You know, so me and Kyle, you know, we're singing the songs, you know.
Not too loud, I hope.
No. We know people like that, right?
Yes, we do. Actually, it's funny. I saw something online today. It was a reel or whatever. I want to say it was in England. These two ladies literally had to physically get thrown out of a theater by the cops for singing too loud over the main actor of a play in a theater. They got literally escorted physically out of it. They were, like, in the balcony section.
How loud were they?
They were really fucking loud.
Those are some pipes,
brother.
Those
pipes. They were singing over the... People around them were pissed because they were singing so loud over... And it wasn't Hamilton. They literally stopped. It was 10 minutes before the end of the play. And they stopped the play.
Oh, my.
And escorted by physically two cops. Had to physically grab them and escort them out because they didn't want to leave. And they threw them out.
Wait. The show was ending in 10 minutes?
There's still 10 minutes left of the play.
Why bother throwing them out? They fucking done this for 2.5 hours.
Like the finale. Well, who knows? They might have got loud. God knows. You get a little couple of drinks in you after that by intermission. That's when you started. Because I know people who did that. By intermission, they started to get louder.
Yeah, but it's 10 minutes left of the show. Fuck it. Let them roll with it.
By the time you, like, complain, the cops get down there. I was like, oh, it's enough already. And that must have been their pipes really started to kick in. You couldn't hear the main actors, you know, the main staff crowd.
That sucks.
Cast anymore.
That sucks.
Anyway, that was just a little fun.
That is good. No, but we didn't sing, like, over anybody, right? Yeah. But again, you know, the music comes on and, like, you hear it start. And you're like, oh my God, all right, I love this song, right?
And see, I'm the opposite. And you know me, I'm, you know, and I could be, I don't care what you call me, stick in the mud, whatever. I'm, like, really silent. When I go to any show, when I go to, you know, when I went to Hamilton and I know the songs, I'm silent. Yeah. When I go to a movie theater, I'm silent. I'm weirdly silent at a baseball game. Like, I just sit and watch.
And watch, yeah.
And my wife, like, she'll be able to baseball game. She's yelling and screaming, you know, not mad. She's just, woo, she's cheering. And I'm just like, she's like, you having fun? I'm like, yeah, I'm having a blast.
I'm having a blast.
She's like, really? You haven't moved. You're fucking stiff. But, like, yeah, it's just me. It's just kind of how I enjoy.
Which trust me, that. There's definitely parts of it, like when there's a part with the mother.
I mean, I go to a comedy show, I laugh. I'm laughing. You know what I mean? I'm busting a gut. I'm laughing. But, like, most everything else, I'm pretty quiet. Rock concert, obviously. You know, you're gonna get up. You're gonna dance. You're gonna sing. That's normal.
No, I can't remember. There was one part that it's. The mother is, it was towards the end, actually. It was part of the second act, and this was, like, a crazy powerful scene. One of the ensemble dancers, and I don't know which one it was, and I wish, I mean, I could take a guess just by, like, looking at the pictures of the ensemble. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, the mother is, I can't remember that, but she's singing a song, and one of the ensemble cast comes up behind her and is wearing the same outfit as her and kind of, like, flopping around, dancing stuff, and it's basically supposed to resemble what's happening with the mother right now. And then the scene ends, and then the mother is on the ground. She basically just OD'd. And, like, this song was about her and her inner demon kind of working it. And it was, like, you want to, like, edgy. Edgy as seat, I would say 75% of the show I was edge of my seat because I was so into what was going on. Because again, it grabs you in this, and I'm not. Yeah, this was unreal. I can't say enough good things about this. It was so good. And again, man, if anybody has an opportunity, whether the next couple of days, if you could sneak away and watch it, fucking watch it, man.
Yeah.
Either that or
what's the website they can go to?
Get
the tickets. Citizens Bank Opera House, obviously.
Yeah, it's the Citizens Bank Opera House. I don't even know where to look for that, to be honest. I mean, I don't know. Where would you?
It's probably on the program somewhere.
It's gotta be on the program somewhere, right?
Only we were somewhat prepared for this podcast.
Well, listen, I brought the program, but I didn't even think of like all that good stuff.
So, Citizens Bank Opera House. Let's see. You can go to. Well, obviously, you can probably go to like. Let's see. Here it is. It's just literally citizensbankoperahouse.com.
Oh, see, there you go.
Simple enough. Yeah, we my wife and I love this place. We've been here a few times as well. Different things. Yeah, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous theater. Yeah, if you haven't gone, whether you see this show or something else there, definitely go see. What you have the program there? What's coming up there as well?
It should tell you some of the shows that are coming up there.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's actually something I wouldn't mind going to see, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's the 21st to the 30th, so that's a quick one.
Yeah.
That's only here for a week.
Yeah. Disney's Frozen, is that coming up there as well, looks like? Disney's Frozen's coming up.
I don't know. It has a lot of ads on this.
Yeah.
That's the thing, it's like...
So pays the bills.
About the theater, so doesn't really have a...
Pays the bills. I think that's what I'm looking at here. It's a few different things. Let's see.
Six is in here. It doesn't say what dates
though. Upcoming events. Let's see. Let's check it out. Jagged Little Pill. Yeah, Frozen. Disney's Frozen. Obviously, the Nutcracker will be around November.
Oh, there we go.
Next January, you got Moulin Rouge is coming up next year. The Book of Mormon. But before that, yeah, it's a fall experience. Yeah.
You got an MJ the Musical.
Yeah.
Les Mis. So we got some good things. I think I'm going to have to...
Cinderella next
year. Oh, you know what? You could also check, BroadwayInBoston.com.
Yep.
That's another one you could go to, and that will kind of give you every little things. Season featuring Disney's Frozen, Moulin Rouge, the Musical, Bob Dylan's Girl from the North Country. Steven Sonnenberg's Company and MJ the Musical. That seems like it would be really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I mean, really can't beat the music of Michael Jackson.
Like to check that out as well. We've been doing so many theater stuff like that. We're usually at the North Shore Music Theater in Beverly, which I think we have Sound of Music coming up next. Mm. In a few weeks.
There's a couple of them I want to check out. I already told you I want to go to Elvis.
Yeah,
I'm an Elvis man, so I want to check that out.
We have you on the list for Elvis. I think we have Sam and my Uncle Billy on the list for Sound of Music. So, yeah.
You can keep that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can keep that?
You can keep that.
No problem. Sounds like a plan. All right. So, anything else you want to add about Jagged Little Pill?
No.
Obviously, Karen loved it.
Yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. Again, this is just such a great fucking show.
Tears were shed.
Tears were definitely shed, man.
The summer.
Yeah, I mean, back half, it's tearing on it's tearing your heartstrings. From beginning to end, the show was amazing. Not a dull moment. There was never one moment that I was like, fuck, can we just get through this?
Yeah.
Nope, every single thing hit, man. It was really good. And I will tell you, I got a couple days left at the Boston show, at the Boston Opera House, Citizens Bank Boston Opera House. If you can... Get in there, watch it. If not, see when it's coming again. See if it's like anywhere near, whether it's Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York. Obviously, definitely go see this. Don't let this one slip by. Especially if you're a theater person, don't let this one slip by. This is definitely, this is really good. I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You're an Alanis Morissette fan.
Yeah, if you're an Alanis Morissette fan, it's
yeah. There's a lot of reasons to go see this one.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, awesome, Larry. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was good. That was a quickie, just a half hour, quick review. Get out there, go see it. Thanks for the bonus episode.
Thank you.
If you've seen it, drop us a line. Let us know what you thought of the show.
Yeah, please do.
Let us know what you think of the episode, the bonus episode. We'll check it again on next Tuesday. I don't even remember what the hell we said we're going to do on Monday. I don't know. It'll be a surprise to all of us.
Yeah.
Won't that be nice?
Hey.
We'll come in on Monday, stare at each other, go, what were we supposed to watch?
I know. What was happening?
There we go. We do have Secret Invasion coming.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Right.
Well, today. If you're listening, it's today.
Yeah, it's today.
Today.
I don't remember if we're going to do it episode by episode or...
I
don't know that we have time this month.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be tough.
This is going to be tough. We'll just do a full-on series
I don't know. Recap.
Just do a full-on episode. Yeah, series.
I think honestly, we're going to have to look at the time, see how long it is. If it tries to fuck with us, like other shows, fuck us with a 35-minute fucking shows, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. No, I know.
But...
I know.
We'll see.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, man.
Everybody, thank you, Larry, for listening. Check us out online at entertainmentrants.com, social media, Entertainment Rants, and we'll check in on you on Tuesday. Larry, what are we going to go do?
Rant. Let's rant.
Let's rant it up. No price checks on this one? You have any idea?
No, no price checks.
Just fucking around.